Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Cavalry Audio.
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, wah,
can you see
wah,
me
wah,
okay?
Wah. Yeah. Can you see me?
I can.
I can see you.
Do you hear me okay?
I can hear you just great. Yeah. Yeah. Your beard's growing in nicely.
I know. You think I should keep it?
Yep. Sometimes in your broadcast, I feel like you don't commit to the beard. You know what I mean? Like, it's sort of half beardy and it kind of looks like, oh, maybe Joe just forgot to shave, but now this is a more of a committed beard. Like,
yeah.
You know, I like it.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think we go with this.
Should we start this thing?
I think we already did. I'm Joe.
No, we didn't.
What do you mean? You always like to do these intros. Like, hey, I mean, you know, I think we just started. Why don't we do this? Let's keep this in, but then do the intro.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hey, man, what's going on?
For real, tell me how you are. It's nice to see your face after this fishing expedition.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're back. Did you see things out at sea that you're not
mm-hmm.
really able to get out of your mind, or is there anything that happened on that boat that we are not allowed to know about, those of us who are non-mariners?
Yeah, well, it was funny because I was on the boat and I took pictures and sent them to you in a video of where I sleep, and you know, you almost passed out. I mean, it was, you just were not accepting of this lifestyle for me. You know, or at least you were accepting for me, but you wanted to have absolutely no part of it. It's your worst nightmare.
It just looks horrendous. You know what I don't like about boats, other than the close quarters and you can't get away from anybody? I have 1,000 questions. So for those of you who have never listened to this podcast before, where have you been? For those of you who haven't listened, you don't know that last week we set up the fact that Oliver was leaving to go on a 6-day fishing trip. Deep sea fishing expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's back and I'm back from Cabo. I'm in St. Louis. I'm headed off to my last double dip game. Don't care about that. I have 1,000,000 questions about your trip. All right.
Okay.
One.
Yeah.
You sent me the picture of these random folks that are walking around on this boat.
Yes.
And from what we know now of the human race.
Yes.
And the people that inhabit this world. No part of you was worried at all that you were getting on to this boat in these close quarters with somebody who was either a psychotic human being mm-hmm. or just shedding coronavirus every time they open their mouth?
No. I didn't have either of those concerns. I've been doing this for 20 years, you know. You're always going to get characters. But no, I wasn't. I mean, people have to give proof of vaccination, but that doesn't mean they don't have corona. But, you know, look, I'm just a day out. We'll see after 5 days, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I did my best, but maybe my best wasn't good enough. We'll see.
So, all right. So here are the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And my comment is for what you said earlier. the smell, the mm-hmm. smell in a boat of the gas and that makes me want to gag.
Okay,
that's what starts the process of getting seasick for me.
Opposite for me. I love the smell of those diesels.
Every boat smells the same. They're terrible.
No.
The fumes of the gas.
No.
Now you're bouncing around at sea. Bad. Yeah. Did anybody get seasick while you were out there?
No. Not that I saw. I didn't see anyone throw up. But
impressive.
Most people had those little patches behind their ears. But I don't wear those. I've never been seasick in my life. And I've been in crazy seas. But I don't get seasick. So unless someone threw up in the bathroom that I didn't know about, the answer to your question is no. Did not see anyone get seasick.
Okay. I saw like one of the pictures you sent me of these random
mm-hmm.
people walking through the hallway.
Yeah, there's 20.
Is there like
30 people on the boat, you know, who are fishing, and there's like 8 plus crew members. And you're all in close quarters and you're fishing alongside of each other and you're getting to know each other. And, you know, it's part of the deal.
Did you make any friends that you think you will continue to keep in touch with?
Not keep in touch every day, like how's your life going, but fishing, keep in touch, probably. You know, I fished with a few people who I knew and I didn't know they were going to be on the boat. My friend Raphael fishes with me whenever I go, because otherwise you're sharing a room with some strange man. And so I would rather not do that. So we fished together. But I knew there was the owner of the boat was on, one of the owners of the boat, you know, one of the guys who works in the office. I knew a couple people. But to be truthful, it was a great trip as far as the people went. Sometimes you can get a bad group and sometimes you hit the home run and this was that. It was awesome. Everyone was fun and cool and laid back.
I feel like you're saying a lot of that stuff because you think some of them might be daddy issues podcast subscribers.
No. No, that's not true. Because
at
even
no
if
point
I said
were you looking, go ahead.
Well, no. Well, so one thing did go down. There was a guy who was on the boat. He's a commercial salmon fisherman. And it was his first time on a long range trip like this where you're 6 days out to sea and you're catching big tuna, basically. We were at Guadalupe Island, which was an amazing place, beautiful place. But he seemed cool, you know? I mean, on the dock, he was nice, and we sort of got to talking, and he was a good guy, and, you know, he's nice. And then he starts drinking, and then he goes overboard, and he gets hammered. And
you can't say that. He didn't go overboard.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean it like that. That pun was not intended. Meaning he went over.
He just went too far.
He went too far with his drinking, and he was not a good drunk. He got belligerent. He didn't remember anything. He, you know, it was just not himself, or maybe his true self. We don't know. To the point where at that night, he had to be taken down to his room. So essentially, the crew members had to bounce him to his room because there were so many complaints. This guy was like just fucking out of control. And one of the owners was on the boat. He called up to the wheelhouse and he's like, "Hey, Mike, Vance, you got to get down here and get this fucking guy out of here." And they come down and there's these huge dudes and they go right up to him. They're like, "Hey, man, Bob, it's time for bed." And he's like, "Okay." Didn't even question it. And they dragged him down to his room and that was that. It was sad because he had to do the walk of shame in the morning and he didn't remember anything. And, you know, it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. I felt bad for the guy, but that was the only eventful thing other than the fish that happened on the boat.
Okay. I don't know why that strikes me so funny. I would love to have a video of your face while this guy was being quote unquote led to his room.
Oh yeah. Oh, it was crazy because he was sitting at the table where like the owners sort of are and all their kids and friends and this one dude was like a cowboy, like a badass cowboy. And this guy was just fucked up, like eating food off of people's plates and just being belligerent at them. And these guys were like Midwestern Kansas boys who would fucking murder this guy. They were tough. They were tough dudes. And they were holding back. You know what I mean? And then after he went downstairs, it just turned into like a comedy hour. We were laughing our asses off because he was getting physical sexually with, you know, one of the guys who works for the boat, not on the
boat. Wait, what?
He was like groping his balls and stuff and like reaching into his like pants and it was crazy. It was crazy.
What? This cruise just took a way different turn than I was expecting.
Yeah.
Is this gentleman in any of the pictures you sent me?
No.
Are any of the people there aware that you are the star of the cleaning lady?
Yes.
And or they are, they know that you're an actor and they know
yes.
If you saw Kate Hudson on the street, she would say, "Hi, Oliver." She knows you by name.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But yeah, well, the boat does. I've been fishing with these guys forever. They know who I am. And then some people on the boat did, and you know, everyone's cool. I mean, a lot of people were like, "So, I don't know who the hell you are, but I talked to my wife last night and she says I got to get a picture with you." I'm like, okay. So a lot of their wives kind of knew who I was. But
was this as you were being groped?
No, I wasn't me being groped. It was the whole thing is crazy.
Oh my God.
But this happens. It's something, you know, it doesn't happen a lot. And when you get on these longer range trips, it rarely happens. But you know, sometimes you get crazy people who you think are normal. And then
exactly. That was why my first,
I know,
thing.
But
you're
what am I going to
be out there for a
go
week?
Go on the boat. And I'm not worried about someone murdering me in my sleep. You know what I mean? Like that's not, that would be crazy if that happened. And if it did, then Jesus, I mean, it's just the way I would deserve to go.
What was that movie that was Nicole Kidman and Sam Neill, and then there was the ship of like hippies that was rolling through, and they were robbing people, and they all are dead on the boat.
Yeah, what was
and
that?
Billy Zane is the killer that ends up on trying to kill Nicole Kidman.
Oh my God, what was that movie? I remember it.
It was weird. I mean, it's one of those, if you come across, you got to keep watching because I don't really know. But, there, you know, he's like Jason. He gets killed 17 times. He keeps coming back and got a little stupid.
But you don't have to worry about that. That's not going to happen. All right. I mean, it's you got to worry more about sort of falling overboard than worrying about that. And you're not going to fall overboard. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more Daddy Issues.
Well, how was the fishing?
The fishing was great. First fish I caught was 132-pound, all yellowfin tuna. And I won the jackpot, which means I got the biggest fish on the boat.
And what does that get you? Groped before dinner?
Yeah. It's like, you know, $600 or something like that. But I just give it to the crew, you know.
Look at you, a benevolent.
Yeah, I just give them the money. And
how long
it's
does it take you to pull in 132-pound fish?
Well, this, it just depends what kind of pound test you're fishing on, what kind of rod you're actually using. So there are variables here. But for this fish, it took about an hour and a half because I was on 50-pound test, which is light for 132-pound tuna. And they pull hard, man, especially here. They pull harder than any tuna I've caught. I don't know whether it's the water or the you know, it's a little colder or what, but these fish were badass, gnarly fish. So I caught a 132-pounder, 111-pounder, and a couple 80s and a 60. And I had a good trip. I had a really good trip.
Are you sore at the end of the, like when you're pulling on a fish like that?
Yes. Like the next morning, you're sore. because you're down on a knee, you're using the rail, you know, you're using your legs, your arms, your wrists, you know, my forearm totally cramped up at one point, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how that wouldn't happen 10 minutes in.
Yeah.
I don't understand any of that.
You got to be in fishing shape. And then that was my first fish. And then the fish after were less, it was easier. You know what I mean? I had to get back into fishing shape because you're using weird little muscles that you don't normally use, you know, and you're running right up and down the boat and it's a workout.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, I know
how big is this
like
boat?
It.
Like the picture 125 you sent
feet.
Me.
It's a 125 foot boat. You know, all the staterooms are down below. There are your two bedrooms per stateroom. I was lucky. I got room 15 that has its own shower. And other than that, you're sort of, you know, it's a communal shower and you're sharing it.
But you're like a Hollywood guy. You didn't need it. You guys don't shower.
We don't smell. So it doesn't really matter, you know? No, I shower every night, dude. I shower every night. It's great.
Well, you got to look good for the rest of the group. And you're taking photos with people. And they're, you know, you don't want to look...
You're also covered in fish. I mean, aside from the sexy aspect of being on this boat... But you know, it's funny. I'm wearing these right now, these pants. I'm wearing like this tie-dye sort of crazy pants. And I have a tie-dye sweatshirt as well, a whole suit. And I wore it, you know, to dinner. And everyone was like, Jesus Christ. Like, what the fuck? What are you wearing? I'm like, what do you mean? It's my suit. I look good. And they're like, Jesus, you look crazy. Like, what are you? I need my sunglasses. I mean, they were like just shocked at what I was wearing.
Oh my God. Well, okay. So here's another question. Knowing how you live, I mean, what was the weed intake for you and what was the delivery system?
So, you know, you're not supposed to take weed on this boat. And I respect that. As much as I like my weed and I smoke it and eat it every day, you know, this is their livelihood. You know what I mean? These boys and this crew and if they got caught, if anyone got caught on the boat with that, and it's just not the right thing to do. So, you know, daddy.
So you've been off weed for a week.
Daddy was clean.
Or you just don't want to admit that you were sneaking it.
No, I didn't. I never smoke weed on that boat ever. Nope. I just don't do it.
I'm
because,
impressed.
Well, the thing is, you know, you're drinking and you're so tired. I mean, you wake up at 4 a.m. every day to fish. Sometimes you get calls at like 2:30 a.m. over the speaker. You know, there's bait. We got to make bait. So you're getting up at 2 in the morning and like making mackerel, like with little sabiki rigs and serves some more bait. And then, you know, it's just, you're exhausted. So at the end of the night, you eat dinner and you go into your rack and you just like watch a movie and you're out, you know? You're out. So
this call comes through at 2 in the morning and you have to make mackerel. What does that mean?
Making mackerel means sort of, you know, there's a school of bait underneath the boat as you're anchored up. And mackerel, you know, you use for bait. There are sardines that you have that you get to the bait
receiver.
Wait,
what'd you say? There's stuff under the boat?
Yeah, like a bait, like bait balls. You know what I mean? Like bait, meaning like the mackerel will be under the boat. There's lights that are shining down at night. The lights attract sort of the plankton. The plankton attract the bait fish. The bait fish attract the big fish, you know, circle of life shit.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get a call over the speaker like, you know, everyone get up, da, 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 and then you've got a little rig, you know, with five or six little feathers and little hooks on it, and you drop it down and jig it up and down, and you get a bunch of mackerel, and you put them in the bait tank, and now you have different kind of bait for the next day. You know, you got your sardines and then you have your mackerel. I caught a couple fish on mackerel. But it's brutal. I mean, you're up at 2 a.m., the wind's blowing. It was cold. You know, it was cold. It's December. And so, you know, it's I like it though. The elements are just, it's awesome. It's your worst nightmare, but it's great.
I can't even describe to you how bad that all sounds to me. It just sounds awful.
No, but like, dude, it's amazing.
It sounds like a punishment. It
you
sounds
fish
like
all
you're being
day
punished.
Or, you know, you catch a big tuna and you take a break and the sun is shining and it's fucking beautiful out there and you sit up on the top deck and you have a beer and you have a cigarette and you're just sort of like, man, this is it. This is the shit being out here. You're alone. I mean, aside from all the men, but you're just you know,
and
you're
gropey McGroperson.
Yeah, you're with
was he shunned the rest of the trip?
Oh, it's so sad. Like, you know, because he had a bad day. He started drinking way too early, which I did too. I had screwdriver at like 5 a.m. You know what I mean? But like you pace it out throughout the day. But he just, for some reason, went like nuts on the third day. The first couple days, he didn't even drink, I don't think. But then all of a sudden, he went off the deep end and just started to drink in the day and was nuts. He was crazy, like running around the boat and, you know, almost fell overboard. And you know, he was a danger, honestly, to himself and the passengers. and then one of the guys, you know, because everyone was super cool on the boat, you know, everyone, you know, one of the guys was like, hey, you need to settle down now, you know. And then he gets all belligerent and puffed out, you know, and wants to like fight, you know, and all this shit. And so then finally he calms down or whatever. And I'm like, all right, like he slept a little bit, he slept it off or something. And then an hour or two later, I see him drinking a bourbon again. My bourbon. I brought this huge bottle of Bullet and he like drank the whole fucking thing. Anyway, he's all of a sudden he's bombing all these bourbons. I'm like, oh no, he's going in again. And then that's when the dinner time show, that's when the matinee was good. And then sort of the evening show was gnarly. That's when it was.
That's, do you guys do that though? Do you put like a talent show on and
no.
You sing different numbers like Christmas carols, or you can do a reading from whatever that show you're on, Rules of Engagement.
Yeah, I stand up on the bait tank and just do monologues. No, no, it's very, it's manly, Joe. It's a very manly thing. You know, we're out there, middle of the ocean, fucking doing it.
How do you not think of Quint and Jaws and him telling a story? And
yeah, no, well,
eyes like doll's eyes.
You got doll's eyes.
I would. That's all I would be thinking about.
Doll's eyes.
Did you see sharks?
So where we are normally, I think I said this in our last podcast, but you know, it's usually filled with white sharks. This is a stop off on their migration pattern for the white shark. And they feed on the tuna and the seals. And in the summer, they're thick. Like you're catching tuna and every third fish is gone. White shark, bam, bam, bam. To the point sometimes where you have to leave and you can't fish there anymore because they're just taking all your fucking tuna. But during December, they've moved off of the island and they're no longer there. We were fishing the last night. I was fishing next to this guy. It was just getting dark. He hooked a big yellowtail, bringing it up all out of nowhere. I guess it's a home guard white shark or a white shark that didn't come off the island, just fucking crushes this thing. Boom! Nails this yellowtail and just sliced it perfectly in half. He brought it up and it was just half bodied, but it was like precision cut. There was no shards or chunks off of it. It was like just fucking sliced.
And man, so Dreyfus would have gone nuts on that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Robert
Putting
Shaw.
His glasses, cleaning his glasses with his tie.
Right.
Glasses on, glasses off, the glasses that hooked around his ears.
Yeah, he did have his glasses everywhere. It's so true. No, yeah. I did. I brought out those yellow buoys and tried to shoot the shark and, you know, attach those yellow buoys onto him. But
yeah,
but good. So, yes, there was a shark around. But normally there's many, many, many. This guy just happened to be hanging around when he shouldn't really have been there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm impressed. Don't take my distaste for potentially doing this myself for me not being impressed that you do this, enjoy it. I'm glad you have that outlet too. I mean, for a guy that cries because he's about to leave town to go to work in another city, you know, to go check out for 7 days and can't be seen or heard from, you know, that seems like a bit of a dichotomy and something that, you know, kind of calls bullshit on the other side of it, but whatever.
Not at all, dude. No way. No way. Because when I'm doing something that I know will fill me up and make me better when I come home, then I'm all right with it. And of course I miss the kids. I talk to them every night. You know, I call them on a sat phone.
Did you find your satellite phone?
No, I didn't. But the internet has gotten better on that boat, so I can use FaceTime audio, and that's how I kept in touch with the family. And 6 days isn't the long one. I go on a 10-day, and that's pretty long, you know. And I miss the kids, and they miss me. But then I come home and, you know, daddy, and it's fucking great for maybe 28 seconds. And then they're gone. And then they're just doing their own thing. You know what I mean?
It's like you never left. And that doesn't ever change.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good thing, you know. But
you don't want your teenage sons just like hanging around you the whole time. And dad, where were you? Dad, I missed you, dad. I mean, don't ever leave again, Dad. Please don't do this again.
There's a part of me that wishes they wanted to hang around a little bit longer. But Rio, right as I was leaving and I still had some service, she FaceTimed me and she was crying because she missed me. And that hurts, you know? That's when I was like, oh, God. I like it. I would rather the kids not want to talk to me because I know that they're not thinking about me. They're off having fun and I'm out of their mind. Great. Love that. You know, but when Rio's like, Daddy, I just miss you. And she's crying. I'm like, oh my God, turn the fucking boat around.
Yeah, I understand that. If you're enjoying this episode of Daddy Issues, don't keep it to yourself. Please share the love and tell a friend about Daddy Issues and go subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We beg
That's right. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss what's coming up right after the break.
Meanwhile, I've been fighting with my son Blake because they're at the stage now where they don't really, they want books at night, but they'll ask me a million questions during the book. And Wyatt will recite the book. And he's like, no, Daddy, I'm helping you. I'm like, I don't need any help. I got it. Yeah. I'm going to read the words, and you're going to lay there in your bed. Deal is feet under the sheets and head on the pillow.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. And then last night, Blake is crawling all over the place, looking for another book, opening up there's a little nightstand between their two beds, opening up the doors, looking for more books. And I'm like, Blake, get back in bed. I'm not gonna read another book, and I'm not even reading this one if you don't get back in bed and listen. Then he opens the drawer that's behind my head, the bottom drawer, and cracks me in the head.
Ugh.
Again, it's Blake.
Yeah.
And yet he's the little angel. And I was like, Blake! And now I'm made him cry.
Right.
And so today he wouldn't talk to me when I picked him up from school, and he's in front of his teachers. He's like, I didn't want you to pick me up. I wanted mommy to pick me up, not you. And I said, and then even the teacher's like, no, you need to be nice to your daddy.
And then Blake's like, yeah, but he bashed me in the back of the head.
Right.
And you're like, no, Blake, it was the other way around.
Right, the other way around. What are you talking about? And then I said, well, I would rather pick up another kid here at school, but I'm stuck with you. So you're stuck with me, and I'm stuck with you. Get in the car.
Is that what you said?
Yes, it's exactly what I said.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to turn it around. Like, well, you think I want to take time out of my day to pick you up? I mean, geez.
I had a million other things that I could have been doing.
Yeah.
And I said, next time you're going to walk home. How about that? And why it's like, great. Without the cars, but we'll walk home. Like, no. No.
So Blake like holds grudges. That's funny.
Yeah. I'm tap dancing for his love like I would Michelle
or
any other female I dated in my lifetime.
Yeah, you're like, because you're like apologizing, like, dude, I'm sorry. I just hit me in the head and I got angry. I love you. He's like,
Like, are you still mad? But it probably wasn't that. But of course, I assigned that to it. So I'm like, Blakey, are you still mad at me for getting mad when you undid the drawer into my head? Yeah. I'm like, it wasn't very convincing.
Right.
I think I gave him the idea of why he just wanted to be difficult to me today. Anyway, I've had so many comments. It's so funny the reactions I get to this podcast and my friend PJ, who I saw the other day, I guess it was Sunday. He's like, oh my God. He's like, every time you bring up Monkey Locks, I just can't. He's got three little kids. He's like, I just can't stop laughing. Like the idea, like we just deadbolt. How about a deadbolt? Forget the Monkey Lock. Do the deadbolt
lock.
It's like, no, I think there's some cruel and unusual punishment to make them just at least be able to see out a little bit.
Yeah.
But they can't get out.
Yeah, it also, it's got to be something psychological too, to where they don't feel like they're locked and trapped in and can't open the door at all. Because that could sort of, you know, build fear, I guess. Because Aaron
it'd be like letting the jail cell open just a little bit, but you can't get your body out of
it. That's right. So you have some hope that you can escape, but you just can't, you know?
Correct.
There's a small amount of hope. Yeah, the deadbolt thing, you know, I could never do that. I could never, like, deadbolt the kids and be like, you're staying here until you figure it out. That would be too hard for me to do.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's easy, but here's the other thing that's happened. Because of the whole Monkey Lock situation, once I walk, I walk. And now it's every game. You know, where's my kitty cat? Where's my this shit they have to sleep with? Then I got to go downstairs and go get that. And then it's, oh no, I can't find my lovey. Then I got to go downstairs and get that. But once I walk and we're done, now because of that Monkey Lock, it makes a little bit of noise when I open it. I'm always so deathly afraid of waking them for fear of having to then do the whole process over again. There's no like checking in on, that's one of the beauties of being a parent, is being able to check in on your kids while they're sleeping and retuck them in, or just see them in their most angelic state of making no noise, dreaming, smiling, making, you know, whatever faces as they dream. That's all gone. Like I don't open that door until they're yanking on it at 7:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for all I know, at 11:30 every night, they're hanging upside down off their chandelier.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. Well, you live in fear, you know, you live in fear of waking your children, because that's ball game. I mean, that's the night.
It's over. Yeah. And even if they take a nap and they're on you and you're in the most uncomfortable position possible, you will stay in that uncomfortable position in order for them to, A, get sleep, and B, not be loud and crying and everything else.
Like,
my arm is so dead asleep right now.
Yeah.
It's gone past the tingling stage. Now it's just, you could stick a knife into my forearm and I would not feel it, but I am not moving for fear of this kid waking up.
Yep. I know. Like the sweat, you get sweaty and you're just like, oh Jesus, how long am I stuck here for?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm willing. I'm a willing participant in that. I if they're quiet and they're content, I'm good. Give me an hour. I'll just sit here. I'll be on my phone. Then I'm doing it left-handed. I've dropped the phone on their head while I'm doing it because I can't feel my arm because it's dead. So, you know, these are all things that every parent has dealt with.
Oh, my God. Oh, for sure. And then is the Monkey Lock still on, or are they finally sleeping through the night? It's been
the Monkey Lock is still
it's
on.
It's been like 6 months.
Yeah, this is the Monkey Lock is there for the beginning of the process of going to sleep, because they'll just get up and just follow you right out of the door. So this is, hey, that's it. Time to sleep. Nope. And then they can't get out. Otherwise, I can't play defense against these two 3.5 year olds. I'm only one.
Yeah,
I'm only one.
And are you and Michelle like on the same page?
Yeah, we're good with everything right now. Knock on wood.
Oh, you are good.
Yeah, we're in a nice little stretch here. A nice little stretch. No, how about you and Aaron? Aren't you headed to know what? What are you going to say? What shitty thing are you going to throw in?
No, I got nothing. I'm saying no fights. No, you know,
not nothing.
No, you
nothing
losing of, it, and your temper goes, and then you know, and then she gets a little nutty too. You know, she gets a little yappity. I come after you, fucking annihilates you.
Yeah. Well, her mom's here with us, so
she's on best behavior.
Her mom's been here for 3 weeks, going on 4.5 years, and wow, I love her. Sweetest woman God ever made.
Yeah.
Sweetest woman that the being that you don't believe in ever made.
Yeah,
but I'm here to tell you, it's a lot. It's a lot. She's a bit reliant to get help. You know, get help to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Make her coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now she needs eye drops applied.
Oh, God.
I can't get out of this house fast.
Dude, you got a third. Right now. You got a third kid.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to have a third game this week.
That's funny. And I got my in-laws coming in January after the new year. They're so fucking great though. I mean, I hit the in-law lottery. I mean, Brooks and Ann, straight New Englanders, thick ass accents, love their liquor, their beers, their Miller Lights, their Jack and Waters, and they're just fun people, you know? I got lucky.
No, I don't want this to come off as
I know.
It's not that.
I know.
It's just
I know.
With at 52,
yeah.
Let me go through the itinerary again here.
Yeah.
52, 3.5 years old for twins, and traveling everywhere and doing a podcast with you.
Yeah,
that's what I got.
Yeah.
So adding another element and another layer of things, you know, adding to my to-do list is not what I'm looking to do right now.
Let me ask you a question though: is Michelle on the same page with you, or
she
is? So she's not like defensive. You know, being like Joe, like shut the fuck up. Like you need to get it together and da da da. Don't be so selfish. And
no, she's good like that. And then, you know, my mom and her mom get along great. So now my mom's here a lot, and I'm losing it with my mom and the shit they talk about. Like we can't hear them. You know, my mom the other day is walking through, and I'm in the other room, and I hear my mom say to her mom, "You know what they need in here is an elevator." Like an elevator, because neither one of them want to climb the stairs to get to the second floor. I can't.
Yeah.
So, you know what they need in here? They need an elevator. I'm like, yeah, you just throw an elevator. Right. You can get one at Home Depot.
Yeah.
I think it's just a box that you put in the corner and it goes up and down. It requires, I mean, hardly any assembly. Maybe I'll get one under the tree. We'll get an elevator.
You know what you should do?
It just goes.
You should get not a real one, but like build one out, but like they go away and then you build one out that looks like one. And then like we got an elevator and you push it in, you get them that the doors close, and you just get a sound effect. It's like you know. And
some elevator music.
And they push a button to go up to two, but they're just sitting in there for like 45 minutes, like waiting. You're like, look, you guys, it's really slow. And you just got to be patient, but you'll get there. And you give them little seats, you know, they can just sit in the elevator and talk.
In fact, I'll hire somebody to come in there to run the elevator. Like, what floor, madams?
That's amazing.
Department. Women's lingerie.
Women's lingerie department.
Unmentionables.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this short break with more daddy issues. Are you doing Christmas with everybody, with all the in-laws and like a big one, or no?
My friend, I'm doing Christmas with Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, whoa.
The Cleveland Browns against the Green Bay Packers on Christmas at 3.
On Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Okay, so you won't be with the boys.
Well, I'm a seam in the morning, then fly up there. So it's like a 49-minute flight.
Oh, great.
Fly up there.
Great.
At 9 o'clock in the morning. And so the boys will be up at 7. I'll have an hour. We're going to try to, what do they know? They don't know what day it is.
Yeah, that's true. So but do you do the whole Santa
do, like,
thing?
Christmas. Well, we will. Yeah. They met Santa the other day. This was the first year they didn't piss their pants.
Right.
Sitting on a old stranger's lap.
Right. An old stoner. It was just like, oh.
The guy's like, the guy was cracking jokes on him and they weren't buying it. Like the guy's like, and what do you want there, young man? A new girl? Oh, you want a new girlfriend? It's like his old lines. He's is this your sister? You know, talking to...
Yeah.
These are politically incorrect jokes from Santa Claus. Like, he's like, yeah, no, that's my brother, Santa. And then he's like, what do you want? Oh, a new girlfriend. Oh, he's like, that's not what I said. I want a new zoo. I like lions and I want a new zoo, but I wrote that in a letter. And then Blake's like, I want a soccer ball and a motorcycle. And that's where we are. That's what I'm dealing with.
Like a real motorcycle?
I can't tell. If it's like a, it's not a little miniature one that you put Spider-Man on. It's like, I'm assuming it's like one that you buy it.
Like Target, right? Yeah.
Target that's motorized that you plug in.
Yeah. You should just buy him like a fucking huge Harley and just walk him out. Walk him outside. Here, like, here you go, buddy.
You said he wanted this. You said you want. I mean, you say something to Santa and Santa does not fuck around.
Oh my God. That's really funny. Well, do you.
Here's what I was going to say. So then we're at this little party and. Actually, two things I want to tell you. So we're at this little party, meet Santa, we eat some, and then Michelle had to go to the airport. She left. Blake and Wyatt want to get, there's a balloon station with Rand. I shouldn't say his name, but
okay.
Let's just say his name's Randy the balloon guy.
Okay.
That is his name.
Let's just pretend.
His name's Randy. Randy the balloon guy. And we go over and there's a line with like four kids and now we show up and we're standing there for maybe 5 minutes while he's making a bouquet of flowers out of balloons and an elephant putting water on its back out of balloons and a giraffe eating eucalyptus leaves with a panda, like these crazy fucking things. All they want is a sword, a balloon sword.
Those are the best.
A balloon sword. That's it. We don't need... There's no twisting.
Yeah.
There's no, there's nothing to this. Like I could make Randy step aside. Let me do this.
Right.
So there's like four kids in front of us. Then my two kids. And he goes, I'm sorry. We're having a show that's about to begin. So after this young girl, that'll be it for the balloons. And it's like four kids, including this young girl. And then Blake and Wyatt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Randy. Really? Like all they want is like a balloon sword.
Yeah.
That's it. A balloon sword. Well, these are not my rules. They're having a show that's about to begin and this is it. This is all we can do. I'm sorry that this is
God.
I'm like, "Well, we've been standing here for like 10 minutes."
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden randomly Randy, which would be a great name for a sitcom. Is just cut us out of the balloon fun. So I'm like, so then other parents are hearing this and they're like, oh my God. And I said, you know, whatever. I said, this is nothing that a little, you know, can't fix.
Right.
You know, I got a 20 burning a hole in my pocket. If you give us two stinking balloons, then all you have to do is blow them up.
Yeah.
They'll go straight out and we'll walk away.
Put a handle on
it. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Put a handle on it. We'll call it a day.
Yeah.
Again, then somebody else came up behind us. I'm sorry. We can't do any more balloons. And I get it from Randy's perspective, but we had been standing in line for a while.
Randy was just following the rules,
Randy was following the rules, but when it's your kid, you know, if it was anybody else's kid, I would be like, ah, they're going to have to suck it up. But yeah. It's my kid. I'm like, I'm taking Randy down.
Yeah. Did you?
Randy is going through that window.
Did you actually try to grease him with the 20?
No. So I'm like, so we're still hanging around. It's like, folks, you're just standing in line for no reason.
Yeah.
We are done with the balloons after this nice young lady.
Like, oh my God.
I felt like if I stood there long enough. So anyway, his two associates are watching this with other parents. Mm-hmm. And
who, Randy's associates?
Randy's associates. And
this is a big operation Randy's got.
It's a serious operation. You should have seen the balloon supplies and the colors and the... I mean, it was Sharpies and...
Right.
It was unbelievable. It was like it's like he pulled a Ford Festiva into the lobby of this place, and it's just stuff flying out of the trunk. And so Randy... Okay, so finally... The nice young lady that was in front of Blake and Wyatt, she gets her, you know, whatever she got done. Like, like the Jeffrey Epstein on trial. Right. these right. things are so intricate. It's like, all we want's a sword, Randy. Just give me a sword. And his two associates had been hearing me say, look, it's not a big deal. So we get up there and his two associates come flying around the table and basically cut Randy's legs out from under him and said, here, I made you a sword. Here, I made you a sword to Blake and Wyatt. Wow. And Wyatt's like, I want a red one. This thing was blue. It's like, I want a red one with a silver handle. I said, come here. I said, you take this balloon and we're going to love this balloon. And it doesn't matter what color it is. We can have this balloon or we can have no balloons.
Yeah.
Cause Randy's not playing right now.
No.
And we're not coming back in for a fix.
Oh,
on this
thing. And so, not only that, but his associates like risk.
They were fired immediately.
Home is going to be a bad one with the Randy and the two associates. It's not.
Why are you doing what I just said they couldn't do? Why are you
doing? How many times have we done that? Have you undercut and undermined me?
Is it called Kevin's Balloon Company? No, this is Randy, the balloon guy. I am Randy. Say, Kevin, get my driver's license out of my bag. What does that say? Does that say Randy or does that say Kevin? Randy. This is called Randy's the Balloon Man.
Really
anyway,
funny.
So now the show starts, and it's these 12, 13, 8, maybe 8 years old up to 15-year-old kids. And I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, where they're singing and dancing and they're doing holiday songs. Wait,
well, first of all, hold on. Where are you? Is this a house?
I am at, no.
Well, like, where the hell are you?
This is an old Warson Country Club.
Okay.
In St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. So it's like a country club sort of festivity.
Yes.
Got it.
So now we're sitting. So Michelle's gone. I sit on the floor. They have like this parquet floor out there and these kids come in. I'm like, this is going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. It was great. Mm-hmm. They were like legitimately good.
Wow. Cool.
I enjoyed it.
That's good.
And it was nice. And the music was good. The singing was good. So they sing some song that I had never heard, but it was really pretty melodic, whatever. I look down and Blake is wiping tears out of his eyes.
What?
And Wyatt had his head down and was just thinking, and he was sad. I'm like, Blake, what's wrong? He just shook his head. I'm like, buddy, why are you crying? What's wrong? Nothing. Back to the serial killer. Nothing. And I said, why are you sad? He said, I'm not sad. It's just so pretty.
No.
I was like, oh, because 25 seconds prior to that, I was sitting there thinking, here I am with these two boys on my lap.
Yeah.
They're doing their thing. It was beautiful. I'm so lucky. I was getting emotional.
Yeah.
And I looked down and both 3.5-year-olds were emotional about the music. Everybody else's kids are like getting dragged back off the floor and nobody's listening and everybody's talking and people are on their phones and
Wow.
I don't know. It was just pretty really cool. Crazy.
That's like very evolved emotionally, you know.
So I said, you know, that's so great that you feel that for this music. And that means, I think that's really neat that you can be that emotional about it. Don't ever lose that. It's mm-hmm. a beautiful moment. We're all here together. Just enjoy it. And I'm glad the music moves you like that.
What was it?
They were kind of ashamed. I said, no, enjoy it.
What was the music? Was it?
So I tell this story to Michelle as she's at the airport and we're on our way back home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what the song was. I'd never heard it. I didn't know it if I heard it. I hang up with her on my phone, my Bluetooth, and on the radio is the song.
No.
Yes, I swear to God, on Everything I Love. Yes. Wow. And it was Josh Groban. There's a song he has, Believe.
Right.
Now, I don't know if it's his song or if it's been recorded throughout history and he just did it. I called her back. I was like, it's Believe by Josh Groban. How do I know that? I just hung up and it's on.
Wow. And have they heard the actual Josh Groban version yet?
Yeah, they didn't like that.
They did not? I was about to say, like...
No, I'm just kidding.
Have they heard it?
No, I'm going to have to play it for them.
100%. And secretly film them and see if they cry again. But that's pretty amazing. You could use that to your advantage somehow. Meaning if the song actually does affect them like that, you know, you could use it as a parenting tool.
It was like Young
tool.
Frankenstein?
Right. Like
every time.
That's right. Yeah. Young Frankenstein.
The violin music?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So like at bedtime, if they get nuts, just play that and like pump it through their monkey block. You know what I mean? And like put it right in the door there. Watch them fall to the ground crying.
Oh my God.
I'm going to listen to the song once we get off here.
If you just believe. Yeah, it was great. It was a great day. And they got their balloon swords, which they played with for the aforementioned 28 seconds.
Yep. Yep. That's how it goes.
But I was willing to get into a fight with Randy.
Well,
because of the balloon swords. I knew they didn't really care.
I know, but the authority like that makes me crazy, though. It's like, Randy, make the fucking... Like, well, we can't. And I'm like, dude, the amount of time that we've been sitting here just talking about it, you could have made 7 balloon swords. Like,
right.
You know, I get it. Like, he's been hired. Randy's been hired, and he's got to, you know, follow the rules. But come on. Jeez, that makes me nuts. Especially when the kid's been waiting there. If my kids were waiting for the balloon swords, I'm like... But the associates came to the rescue.
Yeah. The his former employees.
Did Randy see them? Was he right there when the associates?
Oh yeah. It was a one table operation.
So did Randy throw them any shade at all? Or like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Nothing like that.
Well, there was no elapsed time. So it wasn't like we were waiting on them.
Mm-hmm.
We just got there, and the guy's like, and here are your balloon swords. I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, good,
and
right. Of course,
I knew why it was going to go. I want a red one. Yeah. I want a yellow.
Are you flying out today?
Yay.
You're flying out to Lohinkali.
I'll be there for a day
mm-hmm.
and then go to Baltimore.
What time do you get in today?
7:30, 8 o'clock.
All right. Are you staying at the usual?
Yeah. You want to come say hi?
Maybe. Call me when you land.
Okay.
Well, we can't, we're finishing up, but we have to check in. We have to juggernaut with Josh. We have to figure out this update. Josh, you there?
No.
He's not.
Oh my God.
I know. He couldn't make it today, but he has an update for us for next week that he said.
Ooh.
And it sounds promising.
It sounds promising. Oh, it does. It does. I'm excited to hear it. Anyway, everyone, just hang out and wait. For those of you who tune in to this show for Josh Windisch, and you must wait because I think we have some good news.
Man, I can't wait to hear.
Me too.
Okay, goodbye, all.
All right. Goodbye, Yosef.
Goodbye, my friend.
Goodbye. Listen to Daddy Issues on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daddy Issues is a production of Cavalry Audio and iHeartMedia, produced by Margot Carmichael.
Sound engineering and editing by Josh Windisch.
Executive produced by Joe Bach, Oliver Hudson, Dana Brunetti, and Keegan Rosenberger.